Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's a sensitive subject in any household. You know that conversation. Honey, I think we should sit down and talk about the budget. Nobody wants to do it around the kitchen table, but in Congress, they love talking about it. Call it a blueprint for a house that may never get built. The so-called Paul Ryan budget may be a brilliant piece of fiscal conservatism. It may be an aggressive attempt to grapple with the hard realities of unsustainable federal spending, a political document to run on for the GOP, or the first significant attempt at tax reform in a generation, but it probably has no chance of passing the Congress as it's currently constituted, particularly the democratically controlled Senate and a White House signature from President Obama. The budget proposal, dubbed the Path to Prosperity, aims to tame the national debt by overhauling Medicare, cutting deeply into a number of politically sensitive federal programs. It looks to reshuffle the tax code, sharply lowering individual tax rates and brackets. Here's Representative Ryan last Sunday on Fox News.
We're going to give the country a choice, and we're going to show the country, here's how you balance the budget, pay off the debt, grow the economy, and stop all the cronyism in Washington, picking winners and losers. Here's how you get an upward mobile society. Here's how you get people back to work instead of being on government dependency.
But you might say, here's not how to win over Democrats or to achieve the compromise necessary to actually make the Ryan budget law. It goes to the House floor today. Joining us now to discuss it, we're pleased to have Congressman Todd Akin, Republican representative from Missouri's 2nd District, a member of the Budget Committee. Welcome to the program, Congressman.
John, it's a pleasure to join you this morning.
Well, listen, you sound great this morning. Let's just get the constituent question out of the way first, and then we can talk some numbers here. As admirable as the Ryan budget seems to be, a lot of Americans simply want to know when you folks in Congress are going to actually do anything besides argue over government shutdowns and debt ceilings and abstract proposals like this one, suitable for political speeches, but might not pass the current Congress. When are you going to get off the dime here?
Well, let's take a look at what leadership involves. Leadership involves, first of all, taking a look and seeing what you've got for problems coming down the pike, and then trying to do something about it. Now, we have the worst and the most predictable economic crisis in America's history that's almost upon us. And I think real leadership starts by trying to tackle the problems in the way that is probably the most palatable for a great number of Americans. And the budget that we're talking about is a whole lot better than no budget at all. We've had over 1,000 days with Reid and in the days of Pelosi, 1,000-plus days of absolutely no budget. That is, first of all, illegal. The Congress is supposed to live by its own laws, and the law says we're supposed to be passing budgets. There has been no budget. And the poor excuse for a budget that the president submitted, isn't really much of a budget because it doesn't get anywhere near balancing. It's more a list of stuff you want to spend money on. Ryan budget does is at least an attempt to try to deal with a predictable crisis. And it's actually a fairly moderate proposal in many ways. For instance, for people who are on Medicare, the people who are on it now, it doesn't change at all for them. People that are 5 years away from Medicare, that doesn't change. So those are some very moderate kinds of things we built in. Same thing for Social Security. People on Social Security, it doesn't affect their Social Security. Even people that are about to go on it, it doesn't. But what we try to do is to reform the program so that they're not going to blow up and leave a whole lot of elderly and poor people with no alternatives.
When you helped draft this budget, were you partly responsible for the dual taxed bracket idea that's in the Ryan budget, really basically having just two brackets, 10%, and I guess something on the order of 25%?
Well, these were sort of collective decisions. You get a conference call, and you get 20 or more people on the line kind of talking through what could work. And again, these proposals are it's like a rough sketch. You don't have an actual tax code that you're writing. It's more just like a rough sketch,
right,
as to where are we going to go.
Statement
and
of philosophy.
The idea is to hit it with two brackets, a 10%, a 25%. Right now, you've got 50% of Americans that pay no taxes at all, and the top 1% are paying about 40% of the taxes. If you drive that the way Obama wants to do and say anybody who makes is in one of those top tax brackets has to pay more and more, what happens is you destroy the small businesses that hire people.
All right, let me ask you.
That's why you got the jobless problem.
Can I ask you about the two-bracket thing here? Because with all the talk about income inequality in the United States, the fact that the rich do seem to be getting richer and the poor, they're certainly not doing better if they're not getting poorer, and the numbers certainly are growing. Doesn't a dual tax bracket model really inflame that income inequality with haves and have-nots sort of fighting each other in the U.S. economy?
Well, you see, the condition of haves and have-nots is made worse and worse the more the government pays people for not being productive. The more and more people that are on the government dole, they won't produce anything, and so they're going to fall. So you have a huge economic incentive for people to be the have-nots. And this is a budget which is closer to what is justice. That is that whatever you make, you just pay a certain percent. No special deal for rich guy, no special deal for poor guy. It's going back to the view of America that all of us are the same. We are all endowed by our Creator with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Everybody, there's not haves and have-nots, blacks, whites, male. You know,
no, understood.
It's not dividing America. It's saying
okay. Everybody
should do something. Everybody's on the same rules.
In the last minute before we go, Congressman Todd Akin, what would you take from this budget if a compromise is offered by the White House or the Democrats, and while the whole thing doesn't get passed, pieces of it would go maybe over to the Senate? What would you take?
Well, there are whole, obviously a budget. You got to put all the different pieces together, but the idea of a patient-centered health care as opposed to particularly the repeal of Obamacare, so people actually have choice in their medicine instead of the one-size-fits-all, you got to take the government stuff, getting rid of the IPAB, which is the rationing board in Medicare, which basically says that at a certain age you just won't get treatment. I think the other thing, too, is that the simplicity of allowing people to make decisions on their own and mostly just dealing with this massive budget crisis. The Democrats in the Senate said they're not going to have a budget this year. That's almost that's well over 1,000 days of no budget.
All right, so your takeaway would be the numbers of budget reduction. Let's put that into the compromise and also focus on the health care provisions as well. Congressman Todd Akin, thanks so much. Republican representative for Missouri's 2nd District. We want to hear your views on the budget. 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org.